wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows the dry thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows the dry thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. When clothed in His brightness, transported I rise to meet Him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, His wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows the dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand.
I've had many tears and sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation God gave blessed consolation. Let my trials only come to make me strong.
Through it all,
I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word.
I've been to lots of places,
and I've seen lots of faces, and there were times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours,
Jesus let me know that I was His own.
Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word.
I thank Him for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valley.
I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. And I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust.
trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. True it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've learned to depend upon His Word.
I was heavy burdened down, the pain of Satan had me bound.
I called Jesus, He had compassion on me. Then His love came rushing in, and He took away my sin. I was changed, Satan knew I'd been set free. 'Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree. Oh, no, on the hill that day, He put a song in my heart that keeps me singing. It was Jesus who made me this way. And the world can take all the things that I work for truly. They can take this whole house I'm living in. But there's one thing I know they'll never take away from me. And that's Jesus who's living within. 'Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree on a lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps me singing. It was Jesus who made me His wing. And the world can take all the things that I work for through the years. They can take this old life I'm living in. But there's one thing I know they'll never take away from me. Jesus who's living within. 'Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree on the lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps me singing. It was Jesus who made me this way. Yeah, they can take all the things. They can actually forcefully, like for hours, since you're living in that Hutterite colony. If you don't agree with them, they can actually take everything you ever worked for. Mm-hmm. And they do. And they can turn you out with nothing. And they do. They can take this old house. They can even kill you, you know, like it says here. They can take this old house I'm living in. I imagine this, your body. Well, even, let's say, your house. They can take that too. You have no option. But there's one thing that you kind of have to surrender, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They cannot take Jesus away from you unless you surrender it to them, you know? The rest they can forcefully take, but they cannot take Jesus. And that's the battle of the ages. It's all this Hutterite thing. It's just deception. It's not the real, true Church of God. And as long as you toe the line, as long as you don't rock the boat, you're okay. But the minute you start being convicted from the Word of God, then you start rising up and you begin to protest and you begin to see things the way the Bible sees it, like the way it's written in the Word. And then you're going to have to do something about it. Eventually, as time goes on, little by little, more and more, They're going to just use whatever. Use your property. They'll, like it says here, they'll take everything you ever worked for 3 years. But there's one thing you have to surrender, is Jesus. You cannot take that away from you unless you compromise or, you know how it works, unless you allow yourself to be intimidated. Like that lady you were talking to yesterday, she didn't have to take that jab, you know. The same thing is that jab, that COVID thing, that you have to voluntarily take that COVID. It's your choice. But you don't have to take it. Well, of course you'll be harassed. The church will try to intimidate you, fearmonger you, and you make you feel like you don't belong. You know how it works. But see, here in this end time, everything is being exposed. God is allowing this thing to happen to expose the hypocrisy of it all.
And that's
expose
exactly
who's
right.
Really.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You know, when people rear off from God, then these things are able to rise up, and God uses these things to test people.
Yeah, I remember back in the college, I had no problem. I had a good life back there, but when the Lord taps you on your shoulder and hey, let's go, we got some work to do. Wow, what option you have, you know? Then you expose that thing, and here, it's naked for you and I to see. They don't see it because they're in it like that. That dang guy that was here last week, he doesn't see what we see. But see, what we're trying to do, we're just exposing it, doing what the Bible says. It has nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose him. And we can do it. If anybody can, we can.
I can't identify with these people when they can't see through that system. I really can't, because I saw through that system since I was young. So I can't identify with that. Not being sensitive to what's going on and the corruption and the wrong. And I could put a smiley face on it too. But at the end of the day, what good will it do? What good will it do anybody, putting a smiley face on something? At the end of the day, it's corrupt.
Well, not everybody sees it as such, because there's not something built in, you know.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die?
Was he
that sacred head
for such a worm as I?
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and I But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and a burden on my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. I come
to the garden of the Lord, where the dew is still on the
and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks
and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds are there singing,
and the melody that he gave to me within my heart. Joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I see in the garden with him, not a night around me is falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. Voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. Just a sinner was I, but then Jesus passed by. Oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by my way. He gave me hope that day. Just a sinner was I, then Jesus passed by. Oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by. Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove the more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, ooh, for grace to trust him all. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his crown, and to know thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus,
how I trust him, how I prove him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him all. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, and in simple faith he'll plunge me near the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove them over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him all. Yes, to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus, simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him o'er.
Oh, the judgment day is coming, what an awful day will be. Christ forever is my refuge, rock of ages, clap for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow?
Hide me over in the rock of ages,
rock of ages, rock of ages, clap for me. At the sounding of the trumpet, at the dawning of the day, worldly pleasures with their treasures shall forever pass away. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages,
rock of ages,
rock of ages, clap for me.
Poor love sinner will be dying for the home they'll never see,
but the ransom we'll be singing, rock of ages, clap for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock.
ages, Rock of ages, clap for me.
Yeah, poor La Senna will be crying. Poor the home, he'll never see. They never took advantage of that salvation thing.
Mm-hmm.
I seen them here the other day. I grew up with them. Just an old, unregenerated man, eh?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sad that they never did take advantage of where it says he came unto his own received them not. But as many as did receive them, to them did he give power to become the sons of God. Mm-hmm. They never took that privilege to become a son of God.
Mm-hmm. To become regenerated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They changed their whole lifestyle from that old piece of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I seen him. I grew up with the man, and here stands right before me, probably 80 years old already, just the same old, unregenerated person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see them year after year.
Yeah.
And it's like you go back in time when you were young, and they're still the same person.
Yeah, it's sad that they don't take advantage of being born again.
Mm-hmm.
They're for everybody. And then we're the fools, you know. We're being mm-hmm. made fun of and all that. But that's all right. That's part of the program.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been seeing that in the last couple of weeks, how a man gets old and he never took advantage of that salvation thing. The Lord dealt with me back when I came to the age of accountability. I said it before. I knew. I had enough sense to know I got to deal with that, with my eternal destiny. And I kind of sometimes take it for granted that's what everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something built in. You don't need somebody preaching a sermon at you. It's just something that you do. I didn't go to church back then, but I knew that I got to do something with my eternal destiny. I came to the age of accountability. God's going to hold me accountable for what I did in life. And finally, a year or two of conviction and trying to be good and all that stuff, finally the Lord came by my way. And he made me whole that day. Just a sinner was I until Jesus came by. And that's when the journey began. And then, of course, you go through, that's when the battle starts. But anyway, that's what I saw this week, last week when I saw this man. Completely still. I don't even want to talk about where his mind is at. But anyway, it's going to go on a talk about something here today, what I've seen during the week. I used to think, you know, talk about Moses parting the Red Sea,
mm-hmm.
and talk about Jesus redeeming us,
mm-hmm.
and we talk about the Apostle Paul, but really it's God using Moses
mm-hmm.
to part the Red Sea. It's God's idea. It was God's idea to bring the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Mm-hmm. It, you got to see it like when you can easily. And the devil will make you take your eyes off the real, what it really is. It's God using Moses. But now we're living in a society where people want to give credit to Moses, you know. Moses was only God just happened to find a vessel that he could use. And he found Moses that he could use to bring the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And you can walk through that whole journey. It was God using Moses to do whatever needs to be done to take the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and to bring them into the promised mm-hmm. land. But see, what the devil wants us to do, he wants us to take our eyes off of a God and put our focus on Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Then everybody wants to be this Moses guy. I met a guy when I was trucking. He wanted so much to be Moses, he even had a cape in his truck. And when he would do his powwows or his prayer or whatever, he would take that cape and he would have a staff there and a long beard and had his beard. And he would pretend to be Moses. But see, what I've been seeing in the last week is we got to take our eyes off him. The individual,
mm-hmm.
because behind it is God using. That's why God's name is the Deliverer.
I will be known to you as Jehovah.
See, we have to get the wording right. Otherwise, Satan he'll take the glory away from God and put it to you and put it to a person like. Like I say, everybody wants to be this Moses guy. Everybody thought Moses was a great thing, but it was God using Moses. Finally found somebody humble enough that he could use. That's not going to get a big head.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way God works to this day. And then when you look at the life of when Jesus went down to the river, and God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Here is the Son of God. Here's a vessel. You would think that Jesus redeemed mankind, but it was God using Jesus to redeem mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And how did Jesus do it? By being obedient to his Heavenly Father. Like, I'm just as guilty as anybody. I just saw it this week, all week long. I began to see behind it, everything is in God. But if God can find a vessel that he can use for his glory, you know, that will not get a big head, at the end of the day, he's just being used of God to do whatever God has for you in that hour. And I say, back in the days of Moses, the children of Israel cried out to God, and okay, I'll send them a deliverer. And then guess what they did? Then God sent Moses, and guess what they did? They wanted to stone him. Because when God helps you, he wants to help you, but he's going to help you his way. And he's not going to help you in a way that kind of feeds to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, when they cried out for years, they cried out to be delivered from this Egyptian bondage, and then finally he does send a deliverer, he sends Moses. And just right up, coming up to the Red Sea, they started, even before then, when Pharaoh cut them off from collecting the, they went to Moses and they accused Moses of making them stink in the eyes of Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
You made it as a bad name in the eyes of Pharaoh. That's why he's doing this thing. And then time and time and time again, God wants to help mankind. Mankind does not want to be helped the way God wants to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And here he sent Moses, and he got the 10 plagues going, and God got Pharaoh to finally release the children of Israel after the 10 plagues. And then here they come up to the Red Sea, and they already started grumbling and complaining. Well, God, I'm going to get you to the promised land. You just all you have to do is trust me. And what do? They complain.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to the Red Sea, and yeah, they were grateful there for a day or two. And then they hit the waters of Meriba, and they started complaining. And see, it's God testing them, and God, behind it, it's God. Mm-hmm. Moses is just a vessel
mm-hmm.
that God used, and hopefully, if they would have enough faith, you bring them to that promised land. And it's the same thing today. God wants to help us, but we got to trust him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it says right there in Exodus 3, and read in verse 7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out
of that land unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. So it was God. He just heard the cries of his people.
Ooh, yeah.
And he sent the deliverer, God through Moses.
Yeah. That's the battle. But see, what I've been seeing all week, we take our eyes off of God is really doing it. And then people don't like the way they do it. God does it, then they blame.
Mm-hmm.
They blame the individual that God is using.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, back in the days of Moses, he said, they're not going to take much, they're going to stone me. Try to get rid of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk down through time, and here comes Jesus. God wanted to help mankind to deliver them from all their sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends Jesus. And what do? They crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time God helps you, he's not going to do it the way the natural man wants to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do it in a way that he knows is going to bring him results. And then, what do? They crucify Jesus. The very one that God used, like you would think, it was Jesus redeeming mankind. No, it was God using Jesus to redeem mankind back to God.
If it would be Jesus, then it would be Jesus' program.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's no. God's program.
Yeah.
And he is the creator of all things, but he has vessels. So if you put your focus on Moses or Jesus, then it almost looks like Jesus, that's why the Trinitarians, Jesus is a separate identity.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not. He is of the Father,
mm-hmm.
and therefore he does the will of the Father and brings about redemption.
See, what the devil's plan is to just to diffuse the picture,
mm-hmm.
just to kind of take it away and not say it exactly the way it needs to be said. But see, we have to say it the way the Lord allows us to say it during the week. Like Jesus said, I do nothing unless I see my Father mm-hmm. do it. The words that I speak, they are not my words. They are of him who sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to have this mentality as we try to describe these things and this hour that we're living in. Because like we said some time ago, it's an upside down world. Satan has managed to pervert the thinking. And then now we have to come along and we got to have the language right. We got to say it the way it is. It was God using Moses. It was not Moses that parted the Red Sea. It was God using Moses to part the Red
mm-hmm.
Sea. And we got to keep saying it because Satan, he's right there listening in, see if he can take something and pervert it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything God does, Satan is right there like a dirty shark and just to pervert it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be glad when he's down in hell and completely out of this this perverted talking talking points.
Because the devil, he knows the Bible better than anybody does. Like you can talk with some people; they know the Scripture better than you do,
mm-hmm.
but they have it twisted.
Yeah,
it's all twisted
yeah.
up. Even with Brother Brenham, they were theologians, and they in a mocking way said, "You don't know your Bible very good, Brother Brenham." They wanted to ridicule him,
mm-hmm.
but you know what he said. But I know the author real well. And that's the main thing. You have to know the author.
Yeah.
Not how well versed you are, how you can prove that you can know something. It's to know the author.
At the end of the day, this all this schooling, all they get is just simply for one thing, is to pervert the Word of God.
It is, absolutely.
I think of today. Like we come out of these Hutterites, we talk a lot about these Hutterite things, because that's the very empire that we're exposing. That's where the Lord had me for 40 years of my life, and then he tapped me. He woke me up and said, Sam, I'm coming soon, and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, Sam, we got some work to do. And it's not me that's doing it, it's that God found a vessel that he could use to expose that system for a diabolical thing it is. He used my vocal cord, he used my figure of speech, And whatever it takes to do exactly what the Bible says have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather exposed. When we're saying these things, we're hating them, or we're their enemy. Mm-hmm. But see, we're just doing what God finally found a vessel, found two people here. We're going to expose them. There won't be much wiggle room when we're done with them. And we've been exposing for the last 10 years. From time to time, we come out and we do exactly what the Bible says. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it. But see, we can't do this thing on our own. I can't go up against this hierarchy of my own. I have the Lord has to inspire it, because once the Lord inspires it, He'll make sure you're going to be able to pull it off.
That's right. Absolutely.
And that's why I say Moses was used of God. Jesus was used of God, because Jesus Himself said time and time again, "I can only do what I see my Father do." When the disciples said to Him, "Show us the Father," Jesus said, "So long have I been with you, and you have not seen the Father. I and my Father are one. I only speak what He tells me to speak. I only do what He wants me to do." When He went down to the pool of Bethesda, it was God, that great eternal Spirit, that showed Him, "There's a man down at the pool of Bethesda. I want you to go down there and heal him." It was Jesus, God using Jesus to do whatever needs to be done to save mankind. Mm-hmm. And when He went to Calvary, Jesus didn't want to go to Calvary. He wanted to He wanted to go there, but His Heavenly Father, He was trained to obey His Heavenly Father, and He had only one thing, to be obedient to His Heavenly Father. And when He came to the crucifix, you can go read it down the garden, He wanted this cup to pass from Him. It wasn't Jesus redeeming mankind. It was God using Jesus to redeem mankind back to Himself. Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at the Old Testament writings, when you look at Isaiah, Micah, they all foretold the coming of Jesus. And that's how Jesus knew when He, even when He went to the temple and He opened up the book and started reading, and He said, "Today this has been fulfilled right before you," because He was fulfilling Scripture. Yeah. As the old the prophets saw what God revealed to them. And that's how He knew that He will have to go to Calvary. Because when you read in Isaiah 52:14, "And many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." You know, He knew He would have to go to Calvary, but He had to make that initial decision. If He is going to do it, He had to make that choice. He was not a robot. He was not programmed. He had to make that choice if He's going to do it. And he surrendered His will to the Father, and He said, I surrender my will to you. And he went to Calvary on His own accord. And see, that's where when the Trinitarians are wrong. They think Jesus was in heaven already before He came 2,000 years ago. But that is an absolute wrong teaching. Jesus was only in the mind of God. He was, the prophets wrote of Him and what will happen in the future tense. Why would the prophets write of Jesus when He would be already in existence? You know, it's such a mixed-up picture. But it was God. He is God the Creator, and He's God the Redeemer, and He's God the Divine Healer. Even Jesus does not heal.
No.
It's true. It's God that does it. But because of what Jesus did at Calvary, He opened up that avenue to the Father that was lost in the garden. It was closed up. We could not. The prophets of old, they had a Holy Spirit resting on top of them. When Jesus came, went to the Calvary, gave His life, went to conquer death when He went and He died. He rose again, And he went to the Father, sending the Holy Spirit, and that's why we can become sons of God. We can become conformed into the image of His Son. We can live a holy life and a life that's pleasing to God, that sin doesn't have dominion over us. We can live a holy, upright life because of what Jesus did as an example for us. And through the Holy Spirit, He can lead and guide us into all truth and have a life, a regenerated life.
Yeah, so we don't have to look at these guys that come here. Mm-hmm. And they're still, they were bad back then, but now it's just years and years of that unregenerated mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they're still alive because they've abused their body, they've used their system just for pleasure, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, like I say, then we're the fools. But I'm trying to stay at point. The point is, we have to. We had the talking points. Everything has been perverted, mm-hmm. and the early church had it.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is go back to the way the early church saw it. They did have no problem. They knew who Jesus was. They knew that Jesus was a vessel that God used to redeem mankind. They didn't have this confused picture. But I want to go even further back, like back. In Ephesians chapter 1, mm-hmm. you can read where, I'll just give you a little bit. In Ephesians 1, if you don't know Ephesians 1, then you're missing the whole, this is where everything began to happen. Right here in Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. See, it was through Jesus, but behind it is all, the plan is God's plan. That big blueprint that He made back there, mm-hmm. He wanted a son. And then it says here, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He had made us accepted in the Beloved, and whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He had abounded toward us all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself. it's so hard to drag mankind back in to Ephesians 1. That God, that great eternal Spirit, was up there making a big blueprint, and there was nobody there to assist Him, mm-hmm. because it's all singular here. There was nobody, there was no angel there, there was no stars yet. It was way before time ever even began, mm-hmm. where He sat down and had a big council with Himself. And there, when He was done with that blueprint, it was a done deal. It was like you and I would understand that. But you got to... It took me a long time to see it that way. But then because we're living in that Trinitarian society, where even if you don't understand it, you kind of want to believe it because the preacher said so. But it's completely opposite. It doesn't work. You got to go back to Ephesians 1, and there's that great God, that great eternal Spirit. He wasn't even a God. He was just a self-existing one, because a God is an object of worship, yet there was nothing there to worship Him. It was just completely empty, just space out there. There was not a star, there was not an angel, there was nothing. There was just that great, eternal, I can't even say God, because, like I say, God is an object of worship, but there was that nobody there to worship it. It was just that great self-existing one. Mm-hmm. That's the best way I can describe it. And then when I don't know how long it took that great mind to make this all, to plan all this out. But when He was done, it was a perfect environment, a perfect world, and that's the way He wanted it to function, that perfect world. And that's where He wants you and I to function in. Is in that place what he had for us way back in that foundation, before the foundation of the world, before he predestinated us. See, we were back in his mind. You and I were back there in his mind. And what I'm trying to say here, he wants to help us, eh? But in order for and he wants us to have that bliss and that joy that we had back in his mind, that place that he had for us. And then, but he gave man freedom of choice, you see. But see, the first sign we have of this disruption is over in the angels and Jude. The angels that kept not the first estate. See, they did not, as long as they were in that God ordained, God created plan that God had for the human race and for the angelic being, all that universe was just a humming. But see, there came these angels and Jude. They decided they wanted to go on their own and do the wrong thing, and thereby they lost their God created joy, their God created bliss. And then the next thing you hear, the angels that sin. And see, they stepped outside of that boundary where there's heavenly bliss, where there's heavenly enjoyment, where there's all things are good, all your needs are met and everything. And see, God wants to help us, but see what he wants to do? He wants to bring us back to that place where he had in his mind, back before the foundation of the world. And in order to do that, we got to crucify the flesh. We got to find our place in Christ. That's why I always say, that's always been my prayer, if I can only find my place in Christ, then I have everything. I'm back where those angels and Jude were before they fell, where the whole universe was one happy, glorious being, good place to be. But then because they rebelled, and then God had to destroy it with and bring in an ice age, and then he had to test those morning stars, and God had to destroy it again. This planet has been destroyed, two ice ages, because we went to that museum. A guy told us there's two sets of mountains. There's one, there's so many millions, and then there's so many millions. And see, we know the picture. We know exactly how it worked. Back in that time when these angels and Jude, they kept not the first estate, and God had to chain them into everlasting chains of darkness, and that's when he completely destroyed that whole animal kingdom. That's where you get the dinosaurs and all that. See, you and I, we know all that. But there's something that's sticking out to me in the last week. This, just because it was these angels and Jude that kept not the first estate, when we're born and then God did it again to Adam and Eve, and when Adam and Eve were deceived by that serpent, they sold everything back down the tube again. It's back where it was back there in that prehistoric, and we lost everything. We could not find our place through the jungle, because God had a place for us way back when he made that blueprint. And here we are. We come born in this world. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and come into this world speaking light, and we completely alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And then as time went on, I was 23 years old, the Lord allowed me to see. I came to the age of accountability. I needed that Savior. I needed to find my way back to this place in Christ that God had for me back before the foundation of the world. He had a place for each and every one. Like that Mike Lindell said when God was dealing with him, he said, I know, if I don't surrender my will to the Lord, I will have missed it forever. I'll never be able to go back and retract what God has for me. And it was the same thing with me. When I reached into accountability and here back in the early 90s, the Lord, when he tapped me on the shoulder, I sat there for about a year, maybe 2-3 years. I knew what God required of me. I know what he wanted for me to do. But could I pull it off? Because I knew that up the road, I'm coming to this crossroad where I'm going to have to make a decision. And if I don't make the right decision, I'm going to be lost forever. I might as well never have been born. But by God's grace, I didn't make the right decision. And what he wanted me to do was go up there and expose that how to write system exactly for what we've been trying to express what it is. Like that last conversation we had, upside down world, and about these two cowboys that came in here. What we're doing, we're exposing the corruption in that system, because if they do not voluntarily surrender that and accept what you're saying here, they're going to be caught naked.
Mm-hmm.
Because what all we're doing, we're just following that stream. We're just following what God, we're just saying what God wants us to say. We're not acting here on our own and putting out these messages from week to week just because you might think I got a number on them. I don't have a number on them. They need to be delivered just like we had to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know that they're in Satan's clutches.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the like back in the days of the Jews, you know, when they thought Jesus was going to deliver from the Roman yoke. And it was like Jesus was saying, no, the Romans are not the problem. The problem is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to deliver you from Satan's clutches, not from the Roman clutches.
Mm-hmm.
Romans are just something that the devil uses. And here again, these preachers and these people in these colonies, they think we're their enemy when we expose them. But see, it's that diabolical, satanic, Roman Catholic system that they're bound under, and they don't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
We're just exposing them because, see, as of February the 15th or October the 15th, that destruction of that Babylonian system began.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do nothing, it'll take 7 years. At the end of 7 years, it's going up in smoke, and they'll be left with nothing. If they do not voluntarily surrender and come here and listen to this message, what we're saying here, and accept that living water, that's the only out that they have.
Mm-hmm.
They can't go back there again. All they can do is accept that living water, and it's not our living water there again. The reason I'm going back to it wasn't Moses, it was God using Moses. It's not you and I, like we keep saying the same in the Rain Shepherd. It's just God using you and I to do what he wants done. It's not us. We're just doing what we've created, what he had back for us back before the foundation of the world. We finally found our place in Christ, and all we're doing, we're just doing what God wanted us to do back before the foundation of the world. He knew that mankind is going to mess up. He knew all this that's going on around us today. But he provided a way, and back in the early 90s, he just tapped me on the shoulder, let's go get some work to do. And I didn't know what's going on. I didn't. I just, from day to day, he didn't give me an encyclopedia, read this, and that's the program for your life. I just had to learn to walk by faith and trust him, and a big mistake I made. I didn't trust him enough. You know, I should have trusted him more. You know, owed the grace to trust him more. And anyway, so we're just here bringing out these conversations. It's really not even us. It's God wants. He's going to get that table full. He wants to save that Hutterite nation. And he wants them at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he's going to do whatever he's going to do. Just using you and I to just do it. Because, like I said time and time again, I had come up to a place where the Lord told me to pick you up. And then he let me know, without you, there is no program. Same what you've done up till now doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You might as well have never been born. From here on, the program continues, but the program continues with Lorraine. It's not you more anymore. Not till now, you did it by yourself. But now, you're going to need Lorraine. Continue with this program. See, it's not my program. It's not your program. It's God's program. But I had enough faith. By now, you know, the Bible says about Jesus, he learned obedience from the things he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't have gone right from the baptism to Calvary. He had to go through 3.5 years of training and being obedient to his Heavenly Father. And then finally, when he came to that day when he tried to let this cup pass from me, it was still pretty tough. But see, he was trained to do that, and so is it with you and I. We've been trained, like, we don't care. He doesn't bother us what people say to or think about when they see us together. We know what they think. We don't have to hear. We know how mankind thinks. But see, God has matured us enough already. He started dealing with me when I was 7 years old, you know. Back before the foundation of the world, he prepared us for this job. It's really not us that's doing it. It's God. He's prepared us before the foundation of the world. We just happen to find our place in Christ. We just happen to be back where these angels and Jews, before they lost the first estate, they kept not the first estate, but we got to go back to our estate. Mm-hmm. And our estate is doing exactly what we're doing here, week after week, to try to show a lost and dying world, and to drag them back into reality, and to bring out what that early church did. Mm-hmm. That's all we're doing. We're just doing what God created us to do, but trying to express what we see throughout the week. But throughout the week, I saw just so vivid and so clear that God wants to help mankind, but the only way, he's not changing his program, the only way he can help mankind, really, back when he had that great big blueprint and he had a plan for each and every individual, and if they can only fit into that plan that he had for them, then everything is hunky-dory. Like we had a message, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. We're prime examples for that, because we have found that kingdom, and we have found the message for our day, and we have saturated ourselves into it, that nothing will be able to move us. We know that God sent the prophet. We know that who Brother Jackson was. He was the continuation from that. He was just the voice, also the voice of that angel. And here we are. Then we wrote the exam, and anybody that may listen to these conversations, they can walk through this thing, but it's really not. You got to take your eyes off us, because it's behind it was God, the great eternal spirit, that was leading and guiding this thing. And like I say, this week, he dealt with me to see, to try our level best to drag us back behind it. It's God. It's not. People should get their eyes off of us, you know. I know we say the same in the Rand chapter. Of course, he's got to use somebody. But behind it is God driving this whole mechanism. And it's simply for one reason only. He wants to help you. See, we want to help people. And I'm going to say, we got relatives, and we try to send them books, but most of them they throw them out. But at the heart of it all, we want to help people, and God wants to help people a lot more than we want to help them. But in order to help them, he's got to bring them back to that plan that he had for them way back when he made that great council, mm-hmm. way back before those angels in June messed everything up, way back when. He wants us to find our place in Christ, because that is actually where the only place there is joy and speak full of glory. I found my place in Christ. Nothing can move me. I'm not intimidated by nothing and what anybody says or does, because I know that this is exactly what we're doing here week after week. This is exactly what God created us for. We're doing it to the best of our ability. And of course we offend lots of people, because we have to expose that what it says over Paul said had nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. They think that we're out to destroy their system. No, we're just out to expose them. They'll destroy itself as time goes on. That thing will self-destruct, mm-hmm. because over in Ezekiel 38, the shaking of all things, he's starting to shake. He started to shake that whole... Really, it's that whole Babylonian mm-hmm. environment. He's starting to shake it, and I was thinking about that song, "My Knees Is Dead to Me." So, just believingly, he's singing all these songs, but, and then something caught my attention here. "My Knees Is Dead to Me, so just believingly, dear Hasta Vela. See, we don't like it, them that grows and blighting, I'm so dumb, so God not see it." That's a wonderful song, but "Zwar Heri deinen Hund, Schnee des Baum, deine Ratten, weil du gewonnen bist, das Wasser und Ziehen ist nur zu verspotten. See, that song is right now in the making. Den varli hunser gott verunzier und statt aus Babel fieren. Und die Kaffeezahl zu ziehen noch einmal die Zeit und reden. Oh, here it is, verse 7. Wir sollen das neue Lied. See, this is reality. This was activated last 2021. October the 15th. We're now in the week of Daniel. All this is happening in the week of Daniel. It says it'll take 1 hour to destroy it. 1 hour in the book of Revelation, 7 years. Wir sollen das neue Lied. Das sehen ewig Lied als seiner Schale. We'll be singing this song. Wenn es von Babel heilt, die sie ja selig weit, sie ist gefallen. Sie ist falling. That whole Babel system, that Hunterite thing, that Mennonite thing, that Amish thing, all these religions, they're all part of that whore of Revelation. And it's his harlots. It's his harlot system. And it's already beginning to come down. It's being destroyed. Now, when we're saying these things about these churches out there, we're just doing what it says here. It's already en route to be destroyed. And you can only exit route out of that thing if you can accept this living water. It'll take you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. God so designed it. It's not... I was completely clueless a year or so ago what we were about, you know. It was just as the Lord was leading it, he just gave us an example to write, and then he led us on, told us to write, put up a website, and when you go back and walk myself through that whole thing, I was just simply walking by faith. God is bringing us to where we are today. And this week he let us know that behind it, it's not you and I, it's just God, and it's just vessels that he has found. Like he found Moses, and he found Jesus. Well, yeah, he sent Jesus, like he just... A lot of people don't think that Jesus existed before that. He was just in the mind of God, just like you and I. We were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Just here, 1947, the Lord just brought me. I was born in 1947. And for what? To do exactly what we're doing today. Predestinated me way back before the foundation of the world to do this very thing that we're doing here today. But yeah, it takes a lifetime to find that place in Christ. You know, my prayer has always been, Lord, use me for your glory. Lord, help me find my place in Christ. I don't know. I don't even know why I pray that. It's just something from deep inside. Even that, the Lord put that in my heart to pray for that. Lord, use me for your glory. Lord, help me find my place in Christ. All I ever wanted to ask for my children, that they find this end time truth. That they find salvation. It's just something that's built within. You know, you just bring it out. And what we're trying to do here, we're trying to show people your only place of joy, of bliss, of joy and speaking full of glory, is that you can only find a place in Christ. And see, we had an experience here. I'm going to go into a little bit to show how this works. Like, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. So, and we want to help people. But we cannot help people. If we want to help people, we come in here and we give them a drink of a beer or a shot of whiskey. That's how you help people. That's the only way they know how to help people. But we don't do it that way. We go to the Lord, and the Lord shows us how to help people. And all at the end of the day, God wants them to find their place in God, what he created them to be back there. And here, your relatives, you heard about that Randy guy. You know, that you heard he went out and bought a Bible, eh? And I guess, and then he felt like you need to send him some literature or something. And then we contacted him, and then he started to respond with us, you know. But at the bottom, it was really God doing that. God moved on you and to help the guy. So he come here, and finally we told him about baptism in Jesus' name, and we sent him some literature, and it really doesn't matter what his motive was for coming here. It was behind it was God drawing him here. And finally, he wants us to baptize him. Well, it was all his doing. It wasn't we asked, telling him, and we just, that's the way it needs to be done, you know. We didn't tell him what to do. It was all more or less the Lord brought him in here. Finally, we did take him out to the lake and to baptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we got him baptized, it was like, that's all God wanted us to do with him. Because he gave me that, we prayed about before we baptized him. We prayed about him. The Lord gave me that song. Time after time, I was searching for peace in the void. See, when he contacted us, he wants to get baptized. We don't know this guy, but God does know him. And I said, Lord, what should we do? And that's the scripture. That's the song he gave me. Time after time, I was looking for peace in the void. And here is Randy. His whole life is token up. His whole life, all how God is looking, not like what Levi, how Levi looks at him, or his mom looks at him, or how even we look at him. How is God looking at that man? And here, he's looking down, and he sees Randy. Time after time, I was searching for peace in the void. That's his journey, his man. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationships used me until I was done in. All the while someone was begging to free me from sin. See, that's God. And God gave us that song for Randy. And when you step back completely away from the clutter, deep in his soul and his heart, he was looking for peace. He was looking for that place that God created him to be. And until he finds out there's going to be a vacuum there, and all that does is he was, like I say, he was looking for peace in the void at the wrong place. And all the while somebody was waiting to free him from sin. See how God, the great eternal spirit, has a long to do what? To bring him way back when that great big plan he had back there for Randy. And he wants that for every human being. Because in there, it's the only place that you can actually be helped. In there, it's the only place that you can find John Spiegelman full of glory. And that's where he wanted Randy. And that's where he used us to kind of step number one to bring him back. And I give that song. Time after time, I was searching for peace in the void. I was trying to blame on my ills on this world I was in. He was blaming everybody for his aches and pains. He was blaming that Levi. He was blaming everybody that was trying to help him. The very hand that was trying to feed him, he was blaming. These people, they sought their well-being. They sought what's best for him, but he was rebelling against them. And that's the way they are today, rebelling against God. But God wants to help him, but he doesn't want to help him with the way they want to be helped, you know what I'm saying? And then when I read that book, that song, Service Relationships Used Me Until I Was Done In, yeah, you want to cuddle up to this guy and things like that. And all the while, someone was begging to free me from sin. All the while, the
and
Lord
was
using.
And it's a natural man thing to do, is to latch on to somebody and think that person's going to help you and save you. When it's Jesus Christ that they need to, like the same with Ernie, you know, when we had, have you been to Jesus? Like, we can't help anybody if they reject Jesus, you know, like this one guy was saying, oh, you could have saved the soul. We can't save no soul.
No.
It is an individual choice if they want to surrender to Jesus. And that's why the churches are full of people that are unregenerated because they're just proselytes. They're just people can whenever you see like the Jehovah's Witness going two by two to door trying to proselyte people, and then some people are maybe at a vulnerable stage in their life, and they just go there because they find maybe they have a little somebody supporting them, or they find that it's a cop out a lot of times for people when they do that. Mm-hmm. It's not surrendering to Jesus.
But when we make contact with him, and then he called back, or make contact back with us, and then we went to the Lord for what to do with him, and the Lord just. The Lord's okay with us baptizing him, but before he did, he gave us this, here song.
That's right.
And then I told him about it, and the next day I had already forgotten about it. And when he did that, I knew he wasn't really serious. Mm-hmm. It was more or less just, it's kind of an emotional thing. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I think we sent him that book about community of goods. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a lot of depths. And to be honest with you, what I think he got out of that whole thing, well, if I join this sand clan and believe what they believe, then I'll have my debts paid off because we put a book out. He's got it made, and you know. Mm-hmm.
Then I'll have all the benefits that they have.
But without a life change, you know. And I knew that when I gave him the song. And the next day, he already had forgotten about it. Oh, which one was that? But if you're serious, he embraces for the path because I ran it to him time after time. I was searching for peace in the void. Randy, that's what you've been doing. That's why you wanted to go up to airport. It's just another void you were looking. But seriously, in your heart, you're searching for something. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the only that search got put that search in there. And you go to this, and then surface relationship used me till I was done. And all the while you were blaming everybody else for your aches and pains. And all the while, Jesus was begging. Jesus was waiting to free you from sin. So here, the ball gets rolling towards Randy's benefit, you know. So we took him out to the lake to baptize him. And as soon as we baptized him, I knew that's as far as we could take that man from now. Because I had a dream that night. He wanted a place to stay. How long has he been gone? He doesn't have nothing. He doesn't have a place to stay. He's just living off other people, you know what I'm saying? So, anyway, in the dream, I saw he needed a place to stay. I said, well, I had a motel. I guess I must have bought it in the dream. I owned the motel. I says, well, you can stay here for the night, and the morning I'll come down and get you when we go have breakfast. So I put him in the motel, because I own the motel. So I put him up in the motel, and the morning I went down, and he had two suitcases full of little things, trinklets, and he had them all. The two beds, he had them all in that room on the floor, everywhere he had his trinkets. And I was actually surprised. I didn't want to pick your suitcase. I'm just giving you a room for the night, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask to come down for breakfast. And then that's what I had a dream. He wants to find a place where he wants a freebie, you know, like a welfare thing. And then you had a dream about the knife. And then, see, I had big hopes for him. Whatever my idea was for Randy was just move ahead with the program. And see, what the Lord allowed me to see, God wants to use him now. First of all, he's given him a job. Your job is your siblings. Your job is your brother. Your brother is in drugs. Your job from now on is to get your own soul saved. And then you're going to work on your siblings. You're going to work on your brother. And then when you've done work on them, you work on your siblings. And that's the only job description you had, because your family never had a dad. Let's just be honest. You never had a dad. And now God wants you to be the dad for them. But he wants you to get established first. You got to get your own life in line. You got to do what it says here. Never again will I search for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I have the ends of my life is just starting to rain. Sharing each new day with him is a cup of fresh life. Oh, what I miss He was there all the time. And that's where God wants to bring him back to that place where he had for him back in the foundation of the world before he created anything. That's where God wants. That's the only way God can help that man. Because he's not going to change his mind on what he's going to do with him. Because he predestinated for that very thing. But see, we could help him the way he wanted us to help him, you know. He wanted to move in here, and oh man, what a mess that was. And you know the story about Randy, you know, then he'd send us these text messages about the flat earth, and we couldn't get him away, couldn't even get him away from this flat earth stuff. And he was trying to teach us about his trinklets. He was trying to sell us his trinklets. Well, we weren't interested. We've been in this for forever and a day. We know we're right. We don't need him to tell us that there's a flat earth out there. So that went on and on forever and a day until I had to cut him off with my wouldn't text me anymore. I had to delete him from my, so he can't text me anymore.
But behind us, it was always the spirit. It was the spirit that was present was trying to compete, trying to step over you. Mm-hmm. It's always that spirit there.
I think it's a competition.
Yes. Uh-huh. And it's like always pressing in and pressing in. Like you can feel the spirit of it. And it's like, it's just something that you, like, how do you deal with these people? You know, when you just tell them nice things, then they think they can step right over you. And it's like, how can you deal with these people and get results?
Yeah. How can you get through to him?
Mm-hmm.
I'll cut him off, and then after a while put him back on again, and it's flatter. Oh, these stupid things. And then he said, I'm just about caught up to you guys now, like you were saying. They think it's a competition. No, we're just doing what God created us to do. And you had a feeling for him, and you sent him the books. You want to try to help him along this journey of life. But he thinks he's teaching us now. Because the minute we baptize him, guess what he does? He goes and tells his siblings, I'm a Christian now. Mm-hmm. And all his drinking buddies, I'm a Christian now. I've been baptized.
Instead of living a life and letting people see that there is a change taking place, you know?
Don't tell people you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. Show me you're a Christian.
I don't know where they get that idea.
Anyway, he was so immature. And anyway, that just went on. See, back, I don't like to talk about these things. Back at the colony, we had this, in the pig barn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We had this old, you know, this walking cane?
Mm-hmm.
And there are some sows that you just can't, they're just ordering. You just can't tell them nothing. They just do everything. They erect their fences and they do everything. And we had this cane. And this particular sow, she was an ordinary one. So we took that can and we right across her snout to try to knock some sense into her so she wouldn't tear the fence down and do stupid things or wreck her pen, you know. And that's what I saw. Lord, how do we help this man? And I just saw myself taking that can, just like I went that sow, hit her over the head so she gets some sense into it. And that's the only way we could kind of get this Randy guy off his stupid flat earth stuff. I says, Lorraine, you're going to have to take that crane and you're just going to have to hit him right on the snout. And then you send out send him a message, you know. I don't know what it was anymore, but
it's a blatant disrespect for the word of God.
Yeah, but
and then, yet it's like, it just talks about Randy and the, you know, the diabolicness of it, you know, trying to, you know, thinking that they're now a Christian and they can now teach you. When we've been in this all our life, since we were young, how God has led it our lives. And you think now all of a sudden they'll tell you about a flat earth, they'll tell you about this, and you're supposed to believe what
I'm supposed to take it, hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. And when we've been honed out for this job, mm-hmm. and the only job he's been honed out to do is to pray for his siblings, pray for his brother, get him out of that drug thing. And that's the only job description he has.
And basically, that's really the spirit of Satan trying to destroy what we have here.
Yeah.
And that's what the devil has been trying to do since day one. So I just told him, you know what? Your dad lived as unregenerated, like a bum. And your mom, all she was ever interested in how many gifts she can give her kids. She never did anything for your eternal.
Mm-hmm. For the regeneration mm-hmm, part of mm-hmm. it.
Like my mom, I can say so many good things how my mom helped me and my journey. But his parents have not done that for their mm-hmm. children. And now he has to do something, start from scratch and do something and to make him open up his eyes and start listening. I send it to his sister. You know, that Randy thinks he is like this. Mm-hmm. He is like this Christian now, he is just on top of everybody, and he's not.
No.
And
he needs makes it believe like he's something.
And he needs to hear the truth that he is not.
And then what he does, they know he's communicating with me, they think I'm mm-hmm. like he is,
That's right.
And he's out here to destroy what we have.
It gives the impression that we believe in this flat earth, and we believe in all this derogatory stuff, and it sets a wrong precedence.
So we had to cut him off. And here his brother, he called him up one day, he longs for the family that he never had.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, as I told, the Lord is already working on him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants a family, and you're supposed to be the family that your father never was,
because
your siblings, and they grew up without a parent, without any godliness in it.
Mm-hmm.
And here see what we're trying to do behind it, the Spirit of God, trying to help him, but the only way that God can help him is to bring him back to that plan that he had for him before the foundation of the world.
And when you're nice, and you think everything is, and you make an impression everything is hunky-dory, then they think, oh, I can just go on down my level just the way I am. And you pray, God, how can I come true to these people and say it in a way that, you know what, that it will jolt them into reality.
Yeah.
Because this world there are so many deceiving spirits out there that they're deceived. Now I am this Christian now. Everything is good. And it's not like
that. Man, it's worse.
Mm-hmm. And it's like you almost have to be rude to jolt them into reality.
That's right. You learn you're going to take that clan and you're going to have to hit them over the snout with it 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
3 times you have to. So he's not listening to the minute you talk to him now, the minute you send him a text message,
mm-hmm.
he thinks he's on. He's on glory trail.
Yeah,
as he said as much. Well,
the minute he thinks you're talking to him,
now he's good.
Yeah, then he's good, and you're now on the same page that he is born again and he's saved and everything's hunky dory, you know. And it just, how do you come across to people like that? That you know what, live a life.
If
you're a Christian.
But it's such a perverted thing of Christianity out there. And now we're trying to just yank things back into reality. And so, like, that's where the works are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord wanted us to baptize, but I know, because he didn't have a prayer under that Trinity baptism.
Yes.
He got baptized and they called it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord knows how to do it. God does it with like a laser, you know, laser operation. Yeah, he gave us a song. Time after time, I was looking for peace in the void. And he wanted us to baptize. We told him, well, we'll take you down to the lake. And and his mom tried to tell him not to get baptized, not to let me baptize him. And all his buddies told him, don't let Sam baptize you, whatever. he overcame that by the grace of God. Because God wanted so much that we baptize him into Christian baptism by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Because what's out there is, I always say, because this is scripture, it all originates from Rome. They have, the devil spreads these lies into the atmosphere. And these people pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they almost drink it like water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the brushing your teeth with fluoride is bad for you. Drinking water with a little bit of fluoride, oh, is bad for you. It's almost like they live in a constant state of paranoia. And all these things that they've hooked up on, you know what? I brush my teeth with toothpaste with fluoride in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's going to kill my thyroid if I have a little bit of fluoride, you know. But each to their own.
Yeah.
But do not, they have these talking points out there in the atmosphere. This flat earth thing is one of them. And what it is, what purpose it has in this world is to create division. Because with all these false doctrines out there, false beliefs, there's hardly a person that has the same mind, the same spirit. And that's the purpose of the devil, to create such a disarray everywhere so there's no unity of no kind and people are at each other's throat all the time.
That's why it's such a, this Linwood, you know, is on the first term, oh, there's a guy that knows his stuff, and now he's coming against everybody that's not on his page, you know? Well, if you're not on the right page, how can I be on page with you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, see, you and I, we're on the right page, you know? We're just doing what the Lord wants us to do. And eventually people will accept, not us, but accept what we have to say, because it's based on scriptural, it's biblical based, and it goes back, God sent a prophet, you know?
Yeah.
And then from there it goes on to the Laodicea Church age, and then to the week of Daniel, and we have the picture perfectly clear, and people will pick up on that eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not right now, but eventually. But see, what God wanted us to do with that, Randy, all he wanted us to do, baptize him in Christian baptism, and then he's going to look after the next thing, the rest of it. And all he has to do is only jump description he has on planet Earth now. Number one, you're a drug brother. The gun that's caught up in drugs. I think he quit drugs. But that's your job now. You pray him out of that drug scene, and then you go work on your siblings, and you be the dad that they never had, spiritually speaking. You're not a dad. You just give him the spiritual thing that your dad lack to give him. You got the good start now. He baptized in Jesus' name. But now what he does, he goes out and thinks he converted every truck driver. All he does is turn people away. All the job description that you have from God, pray your brother out, work on your sibling. Well, first of all, work on your own salvation with fear and trembling. Make sure your life is right. But you got a good start. At least you've been baptized in Jesus' name, which is a lot. That at least now you got that foundation,
which is
a lot that a lot of people don't have, that have been baptized in this Trinity baptism. He's got it. If he gets serious, but you read that song, time after time, I was looking for peace in some void, and exactly that's his whole life has been that way. But now that I found it. You know, it goes on to the next person. Now that I found it, when you read that song over time after time, I was searching for peace in some void, like we were saying earlier. He wants to go to the airport, just another void. He wants to do this, just another void. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. It's everybody else's fault, always with Randy. Everybody else's fault. Never. His own, never look within. Certain relation used me till I was done in. All the while someone who was waiting, begging to free me from sin.
See, and he has all these issues with Levi. I grew up with Levi. And you know what? that I have nothing bad to say about the guy, you know. He really tried, you know, as best as he knew how, because there were so many kids in the colony, and he really did try the best that he knew how, and to keep everybody in, you know, in order. And and if you were rebellious, of course you would be picked on, because you're not listening.
Yeah.
And that was Randy's problem ever since I knew him. I had a hard time listening to somebody.
Yeah, he wouldn't listen to us. He wouldn't listen to God. Mm-hmm. Here God takes time out, gives him this song. I mean, I would have just saturated myself. That's all the only Jebby script you have now. Just read that over and over, every morning, every night, and throughout the day, 3-4 times a day. Never again will I search for a fake rainbow was in. When you really read it, that's exactly his life. Mm-hmm. Now that I have the answer, my life is just starting to rain. Mm-hmm. Sharing each new day with him is a cup of fresh life. Oh, what I miss. He was there all the time. That's Jesus wants to have fellowship with him. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants to be that thing that he's lacking, that dad that he never had. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants to be that his an Eli Fata Isis kid, you know. He wants to be his father. Mm-hmm. He wants to be his everything. But last I talked to him, I had to cut him out, like I said, and then we had to hit him over the head with that cane, that walking cane, a couple of times, and you did it. And ever since then, we don't get that much feedback from him.
No.
We got a better attitude towards him now. Mm-hmm. It took that real, sometimes you got to be real mean. And we don't want to do it, but behind it is the Spirit of God. Sam, that's the only way you'll be able to help him. You just got to hit him over the head from time to time. He's not listening. He's not a very tender shoot, you know.
It just runs off of him if you just talk to him. But if you have to be stern, you know. And like some children are like that. If you just speak nice to them, they don't even take heed what you're saying. But if you really be stern with them, then at least they stop and pay attention.
And that's what we did via under the Lord's direction, because we didn't know how to handle this guy. We didn't know what his issues were. He moved on us to baptize him, and then right after the baptism, what does he do? He moves in, you know? Like, I'm moving in now. Well, you're not moving in. And then he goes and tells everybody he's a Christian now. He got baptized. And that don't mean nothing.
And then people just, you know, they laugh because things haven't changed, you know? And you're just making a...
So he goes, buys a case of beer, goes down to the river fishing all day with a case of beer. Well, I don't know, he still does that now. I really haven't talked to him for a year, I guess, But see, that's... Behind it is God. One thing, too, with this Randy, he wants really to bring him to that place where he created for him, like before the foundation of the world. And he just happened to use us. He used you to kind of reach out to him, would send him a bit of literature, and then you know, we had to. Like, when I talk to him, he doesn't even listen. We'd be having here a conversation, and he'd be butting in, and he'd talk something about what we weren't even talking about. So that's what we do here. We just helping people, and really it's not even us, because I didn't know nothing. I didn't know that time after time we were looking for peace in the void by God, that great eternal spirit. No. And then we go to that other character, that Jeremy, and what we did, we took that book down, you know the story, took that book down to Ernie, and somehow, but anyway, at the end of the day, he contacts us, you know. He said he wants to, he didn't know there's still people around that believe the way he does. It made it appear like, man, that guy is really mature, you know. I didn't know him from Adam, you know. I didn't know it makes him tick. And just this guy here, he wants to help. He wants help. That's all I could feel in his voice or in his text message or his email. This man wants he's desperate. So we reached out to him, and finally we called him, and we invited him over. And then he came here. And then, well, before I did that, I went to the Lord. Lord, what say you? What's the situation with this guy? Because we know our Bible. We're singing that song about this word, how important the Word of God is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And every move we make, we go back to the Lord. We know what happened back in the days of Joshua, when these guys deceived him into signing this thing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the things Joshua never inquired of the Lord about. Mm-hmm. Every move we make, we go to the Lord with this. Randy, we went to the Lord, and he told us, give us this song. Well, that's the decision with Randy. Now, we're going on to that Jeremy. Lord, what's the scoop with Jeremy? What should we do? And he gave me that thing in Jude. Here's what God gave me. And I prayed. I wanted, Lord, I want to know. And have mercy. And I'll read the King James. And now some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And having mercy on those who waver, save others. Here say, save others by snatching them out of the fire. Have mercy on others, coupled with the fear of God, hating even the clothes stained by the flesh. As the Abba before, selig mad und drinket sie aus dem Feuer und haset auch den Rock, der von dem Fleisch befleckt ist. What God was saying concerning Randy, Jeremy now, he's come for help. We'll help him. God moved on us to do this. So here it's God wanting to help this guy, not us, because I don't know him from a hole in the ground. I just heard a cry. He wants help. He wants us to baptize him. Of course, we'll do everything we can to accommodate him. But first we'll go to the Lord. Lord, what's the situation with him? And the Lord gave us that. You had a good translation. I don't know which translation you had. But here was the crux of it. Was others saved with fear, pulling him out of the fire. That man is in the fire of hell. He's got one foot in hell. God is telling us, some, just pull him out of the fire, heating even the garments that are soiled by his former lifestyle. I know you had a good one where it said, do so with the utmost of caution. Like, God, we were honest. We went to the Lord. We're not making a move without the Lord here. Because we learn enough from people. They're con artists. We don't know this man. We don't know what makes him tick. You just, all we know of him, he's desperate. He wants help. He wants us to baptize him. He wants us to help him. And he didn't know that there's still somebody that believes on baptism. He had the wording right. Everything he said was 100% like, sure, I'll do whatever I can. I even invite him in. And here he comes. But the Lord had given us a scripture. Hating even the garments that are soiled by his former lifestyle. See, we don't know nothing about his former lifestyle. But God knows everything. And then when the Lord told me, don't get involved in his finances. Well, if the Lord takes time out to tell me, don't get involved in his finances, that kind of tells me he's a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
He wants freebies everywhere he goes. So there's this warning number two.
Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives.
Just read it once again. Just read it twice, because then there's pretty much everything.
Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment.
See, that's right. Mm-hmm. One foot in hell.
Mm-hmm. It was, because I felt the presence of the... Like, when I say that's the closest I've ever been to the devil, that's the closest I've ever been, because I have had episode where I felt the devil. But this one was as close as I've ever felt.
Uh-huh.
And that scripture backs it up. It says, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment.
That's like hell.
Mm-hmm. That's how close he was already on a take it downward.
On a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
On that spiral, you spiral down to hell. Mm-hmm.
Show mercy to still others. Like, show mercy just to still others. But do so with great caution. Even with that, you have to be so cautious because you can defile yourself in this whole episode here if you're not cautious. Hating the sins that contaminate their lives. You know,
we didn't know about his lifestyle.
No, we didn't. We just knew by what the Lord gave us.
Yeah, just by that scripture. And he tells you he's got issues.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us both, snatch him out of the fires, but do so with the utmost of caution.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a very delicate situation with that. With that Jeremy, he comes up, he's got good talking points. Man, if you just take him at face value, he's already about 85% Christian.
Mm-hmm.
All matured and everything. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? There's a lot of people out there that have good talking points.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean nothing.
Yeah. But see, the Lord warned us. Pull him out of the fire, hating even the garments that are contaminated by his former lifestyle. That's really what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
See, now we look back and we know what kind of a lifestyle he was living. He was living in such a gruesome lifestyle that he attracted all these demons. And anyway, that night when he went to bed, I went to bed and he was out there on the couch. And I was trying to rig out the way how I can baptize him, because that's what he wanted. He wanted us to baptize him. And you know how I am. I go into almost like a, try to figure out how can we baptize. We don't have a tank. Well, we get a tank maybe or something. We baptize him in. And it was like, the Lord, don't worry about baptism. And he took completely put that thing on the side burner.
Mm-hmm.
He's not ready to get baptized. And then I saw he had a demon. I was in the bedroom there. The door was closed. That guy has a demon. And I saw the demon. I said, in Jesus' name, you'll have to go. Well, the third time, that demon couldn't get out fast enough. But he not only had that one demon, it was a big, ugly one. He had legions of them.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of them. That, well, now we're getting a little bit of an eye opener. What that guy's been involved in. And then God did something. Well, he took that demon out of him. And here he was laid for 3 days, like almost like in a coma. But he was in the Shekinah glory because he's been feeding the devil all these years. And God only knows what he was into. Because I don't want to know. But now he's delivered from all that stuff. And somehow the Lord is dealing with him. He's letting him bathe in that Shekinah glory here for 3 days. Then, while we're doing our part, we're taking everything at face value, like kind of this is a new thing for us. Ignorant as a duck, but we're led by the Spirit. Well, I know one thing. He had a demon, and I know one thing. The Lord told me to do so with utmost caution. Then he gives you the thing. He's got issues. And he gives me the don't get involved in his finances. We take that serious, you know. And then the third day, I guess, he was coming out of the washroom, and he saw he rejected you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought to myself, I thought about that later on. He rejected you. He rejected the very thing we did for him. And then afterwards he makes a statement, well, I did really need this here thing. I pretty much had a similar experience some time back. Well, well, why would you come here if you had a similar experience?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord kind of nudged us towards being very careful, you know, different things. I would have gone, like, you know, my problem is I go hook, line, and sinker. I go right in there trying to help the guy. Well, you were a little cautious. You didn't go for that.
No.
And you saw something in him that was very disturbing. And then the next day, I was got up around 6, I guess, and I prayed, Lord, what's the scoop with Jeremy? What do we do with him now? We've been here 3 days, and what plan do you have for him?
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me this here again. Where's that scripture about that legion?
Mark 5:19.
It's not us. It's God in us.
Mm-hmm.
19, you say?
Yeah.
That's why we go to the Lord, whatever move we make. Here's this, Mark 5, you can start in verse 1. But, about where that legion that cast that legion out from that one guy there. Then he wanted to follow him. And then Jesus said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. That's exactly when I got up 6 o'clock that morning. This is Jeremy Judd now. Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and that he had compassion on thee. That's it. So when I got up and he got up around whatever, that's what you're going to do now. Well, maybe I should just go back home. Yeah, I said, that's what the Lord told me. That's what the Lord told me to do, to tell you to go back home now and tell your friends and your family what the Lord had compassion, what great things the Lord did for you. Just give them your testimony. And, so finally around 11 o'clock, I guess he left. And I saw his car out there in Saskatchewan Avenue. He couldn't floor that thing hard enough. And it was exhausted, barely. That's what I saw, these exhausts. He was just a giver, he was flooring. And he was saying, I don't need those suckers. I can do this myself. Like, completely rejected everything that was done for him here. He's like those 9 lepers, you know. There's 10 lepers got saved. He reminded me of that once I went through this whole scenario. But only one came back and was made whole. The rest, they were just healed, you know. Mm-hmm. Just like he was. He was just healed. But what does he do? Instead of giving thanks to the Lord, to God of heaven, get down on his knees here and really thank him for what God had delivered him from. He doesn't even have to talk about it. Just get on your knees and just be grateful what the Lord did for him. What does he do? He rejects. First rejects you, and he rejects both of us, and then he goes back home. And I thought to myself, you're not going to get far with that attitude. God's not going to bless you for it. And he goes on, and then a week later he comes back. Oh, I didn't get very far. I ended up on my back pretty quick. And I says, yeah, you're leaving here. I could tell your attitude stinks. Instead of being grateful, you just, I don't need these suckers.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of 2 Timothy verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 8. Now Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also was. These people tried to prove to that Moses wasn't who he was.
Yeah.
Trying to disprove Moses.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is all about. Trying to disprove that what God did here was
irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. That it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's the spirit behind that, resisting the truth.
That's why he said, I had a similar experience sometimes. Mm-hmm. I really didn't need this here thing.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to prove us wrong. But see, he came here, he wanted to get baptized, and I wanted to baptize him, and the Lord said, no, he's not ready to get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes home, and he sits on the testimony
mm-hmm.
for 4 months. And then I guess we got an email here, and he told him, what do you make of this? And I guess his mom started accusing us of a whole mm-hmm. bunch of things. And so I sent him that email, so I said, what do you make of this? And guess, well, I'll have to give my testimony. Well, see, in his heart of hearts, 4 months he's fighting, not giving his testimony, simply because he really doesn't want us people to know what we're about. He's trying to do what exactly what you said. He's trying to, like Jonas and Jim, was trying to prove Moses wrong.
Yeah.
That's the very same spirit he's trying to prove. He's trying to prove around his friends. He'll never tell them that he had to get help here. But see, when that email came from his mom, he knew he got to do something about it. And he knew exactly what he needs to do. So he puts his testimony out.
It's unbelievable in one sense of the word. It's like, it kind of shocked me. Is that the way his mom described him was like he was really in a bad state of mind.
Yeah.
And then we sent that text because we were unaware what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we sent that text to him, and all of a sudden he phoned and he looked like he was on top of the world.
Yeah.
And I could not believe who do I believe here? His mom saying that the state of mind is in. Or do I believe Jeremy? And so she, like, we didn't know the guy. We didn't even ask around about him because we don't like to hear other people's opinions.
Yeah.
We like to hear from God. And then his mom to let us know the problems that they've had encountered with him.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we were on the mind that he is everybody else is the problem, and he is the good guy, and
that's what he was trying to impress on us.
Mm-hmm. So it was a very difficult thing to wrap your mind around.
It was a roller coaster.
Yes, when I could not, like, it was like very difficult. We got this text from his mom saying the state of mind he's in, and it's not good, and she was blaming us if something does happen that we're to blame. And how are we to blame? What did we do? We only tried to help him. And then he phoned, and it was like he was on top of the world, and he was on top of everything. Everything is under control and everything. It was like something I've never witnessed before.
Yeah,
it's like I was witnessing something that was
direct from hell, almost.
It was a little psychic, I must say, a psychic encounter that I didn't know what to believe.
See, the Lord had warned us about that. Like, he's got issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to take that serious with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then pull him out of the fire, hating even his garments. That's from his former lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told him, don't get involved in his finances. He put all that together in your database. This is a very critical thing here. But all God was interested, I want to help this guy. And he wanted to use us to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And then end of it all, he wants to get baptized. So finally, he puts his testimony out, and he sent it to us, and the Lord let me know he's okay with that testimony.
Mm-hmm.
He did a little something in there to kind of let people know that we're really not these bad people that everybody wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And had he not put that in, God would not have allowed us to baptize.
Mm-hmm.
But he put it in there that he had to go to St. Laurent to get some help.
And the thing of it is, when you, in his testimony, he will say that he was by the wayside. He literally saw himself at the wayside yelling out to Jesus, help me, help me, save me. And that's what Jesus did when he came over here. He delivered him from those demons.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus did when he brought him here.
Yeah.
Is he saw himself in the state that he was in.
Yeah.
And when he came over here, Jesus delivered him from these demons through you. And that's how it played out.
Yeah.
Without him coming here, he would have never been delivered.
He'd be dead by now.
Because there was no one that God could send him to for help.
Yeah.
And that is the truth, that the bare, naked truth. There was no one in this world that he could send him to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We know that, and send him here. We walked with the Lord. We did everything. I was a bit too kind of not serious enough.
A little nonchalant.
Yeah.
I would say you didn't take it as serious as God would have wanted it to take, because you're dealing with something here that is the lifestyle. And also what God's let me see was how intelligently deceptive he could be, so intelligently deceptive that you could almost be fooled mm-hmm. by his wording and by his actions, and it's deceptive, a very deceptive spirit. And
really, what he was out after was to destroy us,
mm-hmm.
and he almost did it too.
Yes, that was the whole game of the devil, was because of him rejecting us, that the devil was right there to use him to try to destroy us, and that's the devil's game, been from day one to do that, and he uses whatever he can to do it, and Jeremy just happened to be the vessel that was a prime candidate.
And then we get an email, and this Wendy, whatever her name is, this Wendy,
mm-hmm.
Kind of threatens us, go easy on the lad, mm-hmm. Something should happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that you're going to be at fault.
You're going to be accountable for
mm-hmm.
it.
See, when people have all these mental health issues, or these syndromes, or all these labels, these are spirits. We don't cater to no spirit.
No.
We do not cater to spirits that are from the pit of hell. And they need to deal with these issues, because these spirits are there to hinder you and to try to destroy other people, because they can psychically transmit wrong spirits to destroy people.
Yeah, he's a psycho. I know how the psycho stuff
mm-hmm.
works.
And that's how they use, and the psychic atmosphere that
it's a dimension.
What it dwells on is jealousy, hate, and these fruits that are from the pit of hell.
Yeah, the fruits of the flesh.
They thrive on those. When a person had just festers in jealousy, just get your life in order. Find your place in Christ, what God has for you. You will not have to sit and stew over other people when they are flourishing and be jealous over them and transmit demons out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happens when you get into your state of depression, in your state of hatred towards people, in your state of jealousy. These all transmit wrong energy, and it's not good. You need to deal with these issues in your life, repent of them, and you know what, own up, and you know what, get your life in order so you can be fruitful.
And do what God wants you
mm-hmm.
to do. He left here, well, God gave him his whole formula, what he got for him. Go back home, tell the people that the Lord had compassion on you,
mm-hmm.
and that you had to go to Samuel Wren to get some help. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're that vessel that God is using. It's got nothing to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened to be you and I that God is using to cause everybody for the last 30 years has tried to drag my name through the mud,
mm-hmm.
made me look like something I'm not, and he's capitalizing on that.
Mm-hmm.
So with God, okay, go back and tell the people that you had to go to Salem to get some help, step number one. And then you give him a job. Go work with your aunt
mm-hmm.
and build your kingdom. Like, you still have time. If you really are serious, you can still get yourself, like Jesus said, as my Father gave me my kingdom, that's how I'm going to give you your kingdom. The only person he has left in this world that has a little bit left for him is his aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only person he can work with. So, well, anyway, then we baptized him. And the Lord said, now you can go baptize him. So he went and baptized him. But for a long time, he doesn't get a job, you know. He told me, you got to go get a job. You got to go to work. And finally, he did get a one. He did go to work. And then after, 3-4 months, after baptizing, we went to Winnipeg, and he had some books. We wanted to pick him up. And we told him what his job was, you know. You got to go tell the people that the Lord had compassion on you. And you know what he said? He says, I don't think I can do that. See, you'll either do it God's way, or you're going to do it the devil's way.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to leave you alone. He gave you your commission. If you want to really build yourself a kingdom, if you want to be in that John Spiegel and full of glory thing place, you just do what the Lord said. You just go and try. Don't tell your aunt you're a Christian. Show her that you're a Christian. And live a life before people that people can see something in you. And when you do that, but really what the key is here, go tell people the Lord had compassion on you.
And what I think a lot of his issues was to trying to think he has to, he has our job, or what God created for us, you know?
Yeah.
And almost like it was like an obsession.
A copycat
about,
thing.
Yeah, a copycat thing, an obsession about this is what he wants to do, and he didn't care how he's going to get it.
Yeah.
Instead of following in line what God has for him.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of issues starts, because you are outside the will of God. And then what happens is you're not going to be happy. You're going to be miserable.
Miserable.
You're going to make everybody else miserable.
Yeah, and you're going to destroy what we have.
Mm-hmm.
But so, that's not your field here.
Mm-hmm.
This is our field. We found our place in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to find your place in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The thing of it is, we give them a head start. Now, man, I spend all my life finding my place in Christ. Oh, man, what to God when I was 22 years old, somebody would have come along and said, this is what God wants you to do. Just go
mm-hmm.
do it. I would have saved myself a lot of mileage,
mm-hmm.
but I had to find out through trial and error. Here we tell them, here, all you got to do, go tell the people that the Lord had compassion on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then you had to go to Sam and Lorraine to get some help.
Mm-hmm.
And now all God requires of you, go out and tell people, and then see if you can win your aunt and show, live before her and be holy.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't have to go tell her you're a Christian now, do this, that, and the other, and cast out demons and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. Just show her that you're finally, and that takes a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. That should be, that no matter what in life, that's your only, like Solomon said, that's our just duty.
Yeah.
It's to keep God's commandment and live holy before Him. Nothing, not try to be important or try to make a name for yourself. We weren't created for that.
That's all driven by the devil.
That's right. We were created to live before Him in love and to wash ourselves with the washing of the Word, to live a life that God is pleased with.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to be pleased with trying to topple somebody else of what their role is in life and thinking you can do better than them. And that's what Jannes and Jambres did.
Yeah.
And their deeds were exposed. That's what's going to happen to people that are trying to be something that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Just be something that God created for you. And, you know, I don't cater to no spirits
mm-hmm.
and to no to issues of people, you know, what deal with your issues.
And we're not going to be trapped by emails
mm-hmm.
that we should have.
Uh-huh.
Go easy on the lad. Uh-huh. It just so happened I was reading this story about in the Bible about Absalom,
mm-hmm.
you know, Absalom, he killed his brother and then he had to go and run into exile for some reason. I read about 3 chapters every day and it came up to these 3 chapters and I read that whole episode where Absalom was in exile, that's where he should have stayed. So this Job, he puts this woman up to go to David and kind of bring Absalom back into the camp again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, David was smart enough. He knew right away this is Job's doing. Finally, at the end of the day, he had a conversation with Job, and that was his sergeant, I guess. And he finally said, "We'll bring him a little bit closer." And eventually, David brings Absalom right into the temple, mm-hmm. The temple was there, right into his home,
city of David, I guess.
And here what Absalom does, as soon as he gets a little bit of fresh air, he goes out and he connives with the people mm-hmm. to destroy David, mm-hmm. you know? And I just have to read that when this email comes along. And it kind of opened my eyes and my understanding about what is really going on. How David should have just kept that Absalom at a distance. Mm-hmm. Instead of bringing him in the camp, he should have done exactly what he wanted to do. He shouldn't have allowed this Job to entice him, mm-hmm. to have compassion on him. He was well on his way. Maybe God would have made something out of there next hour. But he brings him in, and the first thing he does, he gets the people on his side. And before you know it, he goes up against David. And what does David do? Tells the people, go easy on the lad. Mm-hmm. Don't be too hard on the lad. Go easy on the lad. And so anyway, this one soldier, he ran through the bush, and right through the bush, and he saw him hanging there by his hair. And he told Job about it. And he said, why didn't you kill him? Oh, the king said, go easy on the lad. You know what Job did? He was a real warrior. He went, I'll go easy on the lad, all right. He get two spears, all three of them, right? Killed him right there in the spot, hanging on the tree. And then he went to David, what the heck? What's wrong with you anyway? Why, you're trying to get us all killed? You know very well, if he gets his chance, he'll kill us all. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, go it easy on the lad? See, this is what happens here with this email. We take advice. If we took advice from these Wendy's, they keep selling out this garbage.
Then we would still be on the colony with those threats. If you leave the colony, your mom will die and something will happen. This is the same threat here. If you don't be nice to the youth, then something's going to happen. You're going to be to blame. How are we going to be to blame if we speak the truth? Yeah. You know what? You deal with your issues.
Yeah, you're deal, problem,
yeah,
us.
Mm-hmm. You need to deal with them and all face up to them.
Yeah.
And not like this character here with them. He's kind of a little deformed. And,
with his hand?
Yes, with his hand. And he thought that because he's deformed that people will kind of go easy on him more.
Sympathize with him.
But you know what? One day I had enough of his issues. And I went out and I set him straight. I did not have one more problems with him again. And you know what? I don't sympathize with no spirit.
Yeah, that's what the devil wants you to sympathize with him.
I worked with special needs for 7 years, and I'm not that easily fooled anymore.
Well, you're not going to get sympathy from this camp.
Mm-hmm.
That's a devilish thing. That's what the devil wants you to do, have sympathy on them. And they can do whatever they want.
And then they cripple you. And they can do whatever they want, and they walk right over you. I came to realize that the government has set it up with when you work with these special needs, that they have more rights than you.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you're crippled. Mm-hmm. You're in bondage. You're actually in handcuffs. And you know what? That is not a good place to be. You need to tell the truth, and I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm not going to be handcuffed by no Wendy.
And we're not taking our advice from no Wendy's. And we go direct to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Every move we make, like going back to that Randy, we went to the Lord and he gave us that song time after time. He was letting us know what Randy is really searching for something, which is not his dad. He never had a Christian dad, eh?
Mm-hmm.
His dad never was involved in that regenerated life.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a Hutterite bum. Then he died from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing regenerated about him. Well, he missed that, and now he didn't have nobody to look up to. Now, the Lord has compassion on the guy, and he wants to help him because he looks at his family. And none of them had a... They didn't have parents, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. like you had.
Mm-hmm.
And to direct it the proper way. Now, mm-hmm. God is giving this Randy guy an opportunity to get right with the Lord, and then he can take over where his dad neglected.
Right. Yeah.
And see, it's just you and I. That's our job. We're just kind of directing him in the right direction, so mm-hmm. to speak.
Yeah.
And sometimes I got to take that can and hit him over the head with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, we can't let him know that, or we can't pretend that everything is good.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's. Now he'll be baptized as a Christian. I told right to his face, you're not no more Christian than nothing. Mm-hmm. The Lord had mercy on you because you could have never gotten nowhere mm-hmm. under that Trinity Baptist.
That's right. And that's what's wrong with this world. The school system, the kids already now are able to walk right over the teachers. And we know what the Bible says. Spare the rod
and spoil the child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not legal anymore.
That's not legal anymore. But you know what? You actually hate children if you spare that rod.
Yeah.
Because you want to raise them up to be a man or a woman. And look at in Manitoba now. They want to pass a legislation that all these... gender neutral stuff. You know what? That's how these things come in. When good men say nothing.
Yeah.
When people stay quiet and not say anything, and you're going to tell us that we should shut up. That's a nerve.
Is that what that thing was about today?
What?
That Manitoba wants to do the gender.
Yes, they want to do that. Mm-hmm.
What's wrong?
See, he that spared his rod hated his son. But he that loved him chastened him betimes.
Yeah.
See, if we don't tell people the truth, if we, you know what, encouraging, what is encouragement nowadays? Patting people on the back and thinking everything is okay when it's not okay, okay? He that spared his rod hated his son. If we don't tell people the truth, we hate people.
And that's our only way to help people is to tell them the truth. That's in my DNA. If I care about you, I'll tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. You may not like it. You may hate me for it. You may sulk for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to me. That don't matter. I told you the truth. Like I told this one guy, he got baptized in the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Talking about that. Charity group.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you'll have to get baptized again in Jesus' name. And he was mad. And his daughter was there too. And I could tell they were ready to kick me out of the house. And I said, I'd rather you kick me out of the house for telling you the truth than whine and dine me for telling you a lie. Because mm-hmm. eventually you're going to find out. I'm telling you mm-hmm. here is the truth.
And the thing of it is, the spirit within you, be it who you are, if you are very honest, if people tell you the truth, you have a respect of the people. If people don't, and you, your spirit realizes it, that person is not really being honest with you. And you know what? After a time, the devil is able to come in and create an animosity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're conscious of it or not, but that is how it works. It's you're meant to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Your spirit is meant and your soul is meant to be free, and it wants and it yearns to be free, and it will respect people who tell you the truth. But if you don't, after a time, something will arise within you. That's why you see a lot of children hating their parents, because the children are not being disciplined the way they should. A child should be disciplined.
But anyway, that's what we're trying to do here. We're not acting on our own. Yeah, they look at us like these two crazy. Well, God is crazy in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all. The one that we're representing is God.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to make sure we have a lifestyle that God is pleased with. And he's using us for his glory. And he's doing this thing. He's driving this forward, just like with Moses. Even like with Trump, and even like with Churchill, mm-hmm. even like with Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
People refuse to see God behind these
That's
people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And because he cares about the country, and he'll get the job done eventually. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're doing here. We don't need no emails telling us, go easy on the lad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We know what happened. Like I said, I just happened to read it that morning about David, mm-hmm. the trap he fell into, simply mm-hmm. because first Job sends his woman in. Well, David was smart enough. That's Job's doing, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, finally she had to confess, and then they had the conversation, and then finally Job and David had a conversation. Finally, he wore David down. First, I think he just let him stay the next town over, but eventually brings him into his house, and eventually he's out there, get the people, the whole country on his side.
Mm-hmm.
Pretending like he's in charge now.
David had to flee for his life.
Yeah, David had to flee for his life. And here's the same thing. Mm-hmm. If we listen to these Wendy's and all these two-bit emails we get, or this other donkey, this badger guy down from Faith Assembly, mm-hmm. we listen to them, I tell you. We'd be out like David, mm-hmm. running for our lives.
That's right.
But we're not intimidated by these emails.
Mm-hmm.
We stay in a fight.
We know God.
And we know exactly where He's mm-hmm. brought us from and what He's called us to do and be. And we're not threatened. We're not intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
We passed that. I seen this movie yesterday about this woman called Moses. Mm-hmm. You know, she had no reverse, you mm-hmm. know. And that big general, what was his name? He was after her forever.
Well, he was a detective.
He was a detective.
Oh, yes. They hired
and
him to work.
He told. I respect her.
Mm-hmm.
He respected what he was doing. And then when it came to...
Down to it, he let her go.
He let her go, yeah. See? Mm-hmm. And she was always on the offense. Mm-hmm. And nobody could touch her.
Yeah.
God was on her
because
side.
She said, only God can stop me.
Yeah. And she said, there's nothing to fear out there. They might have the whole... She brought all these slaves from the south, mm-hmm. up north into Canada. And because... I read somewhere in the Bible, see that oil and that wine, you know, mm-hmm. that fire, that passion.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you're intimidated by fear and all that, you're done. Mm-hmm. See, we're not intimidated mm-hmm. by these two-bit emails we get.
Mm-hmm.
That would finish us off right in our feet.
Harriet Truman.
Yeah. So this is what we do. We're trying to show people it's not us. It's God founding two vessels to fulfill and to bring out that living water. Meet in due season, and now it's evolved into living water. And that's our only vision we have in life. That's our only formula. That's our job. That's mm-hmm. all we're doing. It's our job. You can send us emails. Sounds better. Like water off a duck's back. In that time of day, does we go to the Lord with every move we make? Yeah, you send us an email if you want. Well, we take it to the Lord, eh? Mm-hmm. Like I already been to the Lord. I just happened to read this episode about David, and then this email comes along, and like I said, don't even listen to this email. It's mm-hmm. the same thing. You get yourself in a trap the same way David would have got himself mm-hmm. into a trap. So the Lord was a day ahead of the thing mm-hmm. here. Already warned me about this email coming up. So that's who you're dealing with here. We're doing what the Lord wants us to do. And we're exposing these things. Mm-hmm. We don't hate people. Tell them the truth and we expose them.
Mm-hmm.
That thing, like I said, time and time again, Babylon is coming down. And if you don't voluntarily get away from it, it's all, that Babylon is all controlled by that Nicaea Rome baptism. Mm-hmm. If you're under that Nicaea Rome title of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost baptism, you belong to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hole that the devil has on you. And when that thing goes down, guess where you're going? You're going down with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you gotta be baptized in Jesus' name. That's why you gotta tear yourself loose from this Babylon thing, because it's going down.
Mm-hmm.
I would say so. Not only Rome, over there where that where that atomic bomb hits that smokestack there in Rome, the Vatican, it's going to affect all these harlots. They're mm-hmm. all going down with it.
Absolutely.
The shaking of all things. That when everything is done shaking, only thing will stand is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. And when you see what's going on around with this COVID, the vaccine, and all these things, and even the food shortages that they're predicting and stuff like that, that is all part of bringing down Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Because Babylon will destroy itself.
Yeah.
The devil always destroys himself, like he did at Calvary. He wanted to get rid of Jesus, and in the same token, he destroyed himself.
Yeah.
Because Jesus went down to the pit of hell, and he set the saints of old free. And
he's defeated. He's a defeated fool ever since. He just pretends out there he can do something.
Mm-hmm.
Then he sends these Wendy's in here mm-hmm. and these Badgers mm-hmm. and here with their email intimidation, like we're gonna listen to what they have to say.
And send out psychic attacks. And
then
stuff
he sends
like
his Jeremy with his psycho stuff.
Uh-huh.
Oh mm-hmm. man, give me a break. Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna start sending them back.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and deal with the ones that sent you, I mm-hmm. tell you. It could be pretty deadly for them. They're not going to be tolerating as much. That's what I learned through my journey through life. When these attacks come, they're demonic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're directed by Satan. But he uses Christians, so-called Christians. He uses these prayer meetings. He uses people to send these curses on us. Well, I'll tell them to go back where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
Just like these elephants back in the days of the Israelites. They turn around, they kill the very people that sicked them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not playing a game here. Mm-hmm. There's no more time to play games.
Yeah, no, it's not.
This is a matter mm-hmm. of life and death. You better be serious with your walk with God. This is not game playing time.
The enemy will always turn around and kill itself, like they did with Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
There was three groups of people come against him, and he went to God and cried out to God, and they ended up killing off each other, and they were no more. And that's what happens if you work for the devil.
Yeah, and nothing to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, "Don't fear him who kills the body. Fear him who has power to destroy both the body and the soul in hell."
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing we fear, is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we had a conversation here about your Word and everything, trying to bring it out the way you allowed us to see it throughout the week, Lord. We just pray, Lord, you'll take what's been said and put it together. I know it's all chopped up. And I just pray, Lord, you give the people to let them see with seeing eye that behind you it's that great eternal Spirit. That God that cares about the human race and cares about people. And we're just trying to transmit it to them, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.